Welcome to the C3 Youth Podcast, the youth ministry of our C3 church locations in Sydney. We're believing for you to discover more of Jesus Christ and all that he's called you to.
It is an honor to be here with the generation that God is calling into a level of leadership that the world has never seen. I don't assume that I have all of the answers, but I do believe I have a part of the equation. And if you will lean in, and if you will be kind enough to hear my heart and hear what I have to say, I believe that God has given me something to equip you. I remember being 13 years old in the back of a small church in Cincinnati, Ohio, when the Lord called me to ministry. And I did not know then that the Lord would take me around the world to declare the name of Jesus to multiple cultures, to multiple generations. And I have determined that I'm going to live the rest of my life serving Jesus. I say that not for the purposes of applause, but to let the atmosphere know that my assignment is singular, to lift Jesus up and to equip this generation to be the leaders, to be the warriors, to be the followers of Christ that you are called to be. And as young people, it's very easy to get distracted. It's very easy to laugh with your friends in the darkness and the haze of the fog machines while I attempt to preach. But I can assure you that I am not here on my own. I have no agenda other than the Word of God. And if you have ever thought that God was real, if you believe that his presence is worthy of your attention, then I want you to hear my heart and listen to me as I speak life, because there's someone in this room that is going to change the world. I don't know who you are yet, but before these 20 minutes are over, I will have identified you. I'm looking for someone. I don't know if she's in here. I don't know if he's in here, but I believe that they are. You don't fit in. You've never fit in. You try to fit in, but it doesn't work. I don't know if you're in here, but every time you try to do the wrong thing, you get caught, because God has put his hand on you, and even if you try to do what everyone else is doing, you can't, because God has already made up his mind about you. I'm talking to the one who, when other people make fun of another person, you actually don't join in. It hurts your heart, and you don't like it when you see people bullied and made fun of. Who am I talking to in here? Is there anybody in here that has a heart for those who can't fight for themselves? Where are the ones who would stand up if one of your friends was being made fun of or hurt? Very good. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Because I'm looking for someone in here, and I believe that when I am finished, you will know who you are. How many 12-year-olds do I have in here? 13, 14, 15, 16, there you go, 17, 18, 19 and up. Are there any 8-year-olds in here? What are y'all doing in here? No, I'm playing. Glad you're here. God does not factor in age exclusively when he is deciding who's going to change the world. The Bible says Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. And in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David, which means a young man at 16 years old had already made up his mind about what he would do with the rest of his life. And what I believe my assignment is this afternoon is to unlock the passion on the inside of you, so that when you leave here, this is not just another afternoon session where you hung out with your friends, but you will be able to mark this in your journal as the day that you made a decision that you were going to give God everything you had. Can I get an amen? For those who know me or if you've ever heard of me, you know I like to have fun. I do. But I have to tell you, I am concerned about the state of this world. Our world is in trouble. More war, more tension, more anger, more hatred than at any point in the last 50 years. And of all the generations that God could have birthed for this moment, he chose you. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to make sure you hear me because I want you to hear me by the Spirit of the Lord. You didn't choose to be born at this time, but you are called to this time. You are called to this moment. Write this down. I'm called for this moment. You need to write it down. Put it in your smartphone or tablet or if you're journaling. You are called for this moment. God never digresses. He only progresses, which means King David with all of his brilliance and Elijah with all of his prophetic accuracy and Elisha with his double portion blessing were not called to live in this moment, but you were. So what does that say about the potential in this room? There were a lot of young people in the same service that I was in on the day that I was called to ministry. None of them are doing what I'm doing. I don't believe I was the only one God spoke to, but I do know I'm the only one that said yes. I don't know who this is for, but I was sent for one person in here who will say yes. The power of one yes can change the world. I'm a living, breathing witness that one yes can change the world. God is looking for someone who will simply say yes. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we find the children of Israel at a very critical moment. The king that they had chosen for themselves, his name was Saul, had displeased God, disobeyed the prophet Samuel, and God said, I need a replacement. God sends the prophet Samuel to a place called Bethlehem because there's a king in Bethlehem. Does it sound familiar that there's a king in Bethlehem? Talk to me. Because wasn't there another king in Bethlehem? What was his name? So in 1 Samuel 16, we catch the first prophetic glimpse that God is looking for a king in Bethlehem. So Samuel the prophet goes to Bethlehem to the house of a man named Jesse. And Jesse has sons. The word gets out. Jesse, you got a king in your house. Jesse's feeling good. He's like, hey, pop the collar. Turn up. He tells all his sons, get dressed, boys. One of y'all is a king. About to be in the palace eating grapes. The prophet Samuel walks into the house. You gotta understand, Samuel wasn't just a regular preacher. This was not a casual moment. And the problem with this generation is I love y'all, but sometimes you guys are too casual with the holy things of God. And it's not your fault. We as the leaders and parents have allowed you guys to be casual, but God is not cool. He's not funny. He's not just a buddy. He is the living God. He is holy, and he is to be honored as holy. The Bible says when Samuel walks into the city, the leaders of the city would tremble because he had so much authority that they wanted to make sure to honor him. Samuel walks into the city. He comes to the house of Jesse. He walks in, and as a prophet, he has a horn of oil. This oil is symbolic of God choosing who's next. Tell somebody I'm next. Some of y'all didn't believe it. I need you to tell somebody else I'm next. What's funny is, some of you didn't believe it And that's why I was sent. I'm sent to talk to who's next. I know I'm getting ready to go speak in the big service. And I know there are many preachers who would say, why would you do a youth session? Let me tell you why. Because I remember it was in a session like this where God grabbed my heart. I'd been in church my whole life, but it was just one service. And I heard one word, and it changed everything. Somebody in this room is about to have that moment. The Bible says that Samuel walked into the house with his oil, and he sees Jesse's sons lined up from the oldest to the youngest. He sees the first son, and Samuel, the prophet of God, says to himself, that's a king in front of me. He's the firstborn. He gets the double portion blessing. That's got to be the one. God says, hold up. Don't put my oil on your choice. For I have refused him. It's man that looks at the outside. God looks at the heart. As young people, can I encourage you to stop choosing your friends based on what they look like or what they have or don't have or their current popularity or their social media status or the amount of followers, but choose people who love God, who have a heart for God, who are moving in the direction of God. Samuel then goes to the next son. God says, nah. To the third son. No. To the fourth one. Mm-mm. Number five. Number six. Number seven. Seven sons. Seven. What does the number seven represent in the Bible? Completion. It was a complete no. Samuel the prophet is confused. And here's where we pick up our scripture. 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then Jesse said, well, there remains yet the youngest. He's over in the ICC in a small breakout room, separate from the big conference. Because a lot of times God will separate you from the crowd when you're called. I'm getting ready to preach like I feel it. There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, there she is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. The Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Tell somebody, I'm the one. Tell somebody else, I'm the one. You may not believe it yet. You may not know it yet. But I came here to tell you, you're the one. I told you at the beginning that I was here looking for someone. Someone who would change the world. The trick is, it's not just one of you, it's all of you. Say it again. Say, I'm the one. I don't think you believe it yet, but that's okay. I've got 10 minutes, and before this 10 minutes is over, you're going to know you are the one. You with all of your issues. You with all of your tears. You with all of your brokenness. You who still struggles with identity. You who still are trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. You who still has issues with depression. First of all, how are you depressed? You're 11. There's nothing to be depressed about at 11. All of your bills are paid. People feed you for free. You go to school. Anyway. Tell somebody again, I'm the one. For this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. There were seven sons. None of them were anointed. And the prophet said, you got any more kids lying around here? And he says, well, I got one, but I mean, I'm not proud of him. I mean, these are the ones I would choose. Samuel said, go get this other one that you think is not worthy. And brought him in, and as he came in, the oil began to flow. Seven sons, a complete no. But that last son came in, and it was a yes. He was number eight. Tell somebody, I am number eight. That's the title of this message. Write it down. I am number eight. Eight is the number of new beginnings. Eight is the number of new beginnings. What your generation represents is a new beginning for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. A generation that will not go quietly into the night. A generation that will be unashamed of their love for God. They will be loud and rowdy if necessary. They will be aggressive if necessary. But what they won't be is timid or afraid. But they will lift up their sound and lift up their voice and lift up their hearts to a risen King. Am I in the right room with the right generation? I'm looking for some crazy, rowdy, radical, unashamed young people who know that they are called to change the world. One, two, three, four. I got five men standing up, the rest of y'all sitting down. So I'm going to say it again because maybe you thought I was only talking to a few. But you're going to wake up in here because I'm looking for a generation that understands we don't have time for you to get right. You're already made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Take your position. Take your position. Tell somebody, I am number eight. Say it like you mean it. High five eight people. High five eight people. His name was David. Nobody really knew him, and his father didn't really care for him. If you study the history of David, there are some issues surrounding his birth that would cause you to understand why the family dynamics were the way they were. His brothers didn't particularly care for him. His father was not proud of him, and so he gave him the least desirable job in the family. He made him a shepherd. And if you study shepherds in Israeli culture, it was the least desirable job. And it was where you put people that got on your nerves to get them out of your house. David was an inconvenience to his father, but he was called by his God. So I don't care who says you're an inconvenience or a nuisance. I don't care who doesn't see you for who you are. I don't care who hasn't properly celebrated you or valued you. God has anointed you. And so the loneliness, the rejection, and the isolation were actually the incubator for your destiny, because you could not grow in a crowd. You could not mature on the stage. God makes leaders on the backsides of mountains, in the meadow, in shepherd's fields. Is there anybody that knows God makes leaders in hidden places? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 5 second praise break right there. I think about my own life and I think about how far God has brought me. And I think about how good God has been to me. And I think about the fact that there is a young person in here who, like me, will hear the call of God today. And 20 years from now, you're going to come up to me somewhere and you're going to say, Pastor John, you don't know me, but I was in the room when you preached, I am number eight. And I didn't say anything to you that day, but now God has used me to change the world. And I just want to say thank you. The power of this message will not be found today. But 20 years from now, when you're walking out your purpose, 20 years from now, when you're an amazing, mighty man of God, loving your wife and raising your children, 20 years from now, when you're a phenomenal woman of God and you're a business owner and a leader and you're doing all of these great things for God, that's when you'll remember this message. David was in the field, taking care of a few sheep, minding his own business. His brothers didn't like him. His father didn't recognize him. His mother was nowhere to be found. He was always marginalized, overlooked, undervalued, laughed at, bullied. But he always maintained his honor. He always maintained integrity. And he had high character. No matter what people do to you, you maintain a posture of honor. I'm trying to help them. I don't know if you guys are getting it. You got to write this down. Because honor is the currency of elevation. If you want to ascend to a level of leadership in the kingdom, you must learn the currency of honor. Honor is the currency of elevation. Well, that little baby said, no, it's not. David was in a field, and the Bible says that he was minding his own business, had no clue that there was a prophet in the house looking for a king, which means if you just stay faithful to what you're called to do, God will come find you. David was taking care of the sheep, and all of a sudden, the Bible says Samuel told Jesse, call for him. I'm not going to sit down, and none of us are going to sit until he shows up. I want to encourage you that there are rooms waiting on you to arrive. There are moments that cannot happen until you get there. There are people who don't have an answer until you show up. And it is so important, even for the young individual in the back with the black shirt, with the nice cowlick right here by the left eyebrow, who's talking, looking in the book bag, pulling out the black thing. Yes, you. Wave. Tell him to wave. Hi, you. How are you? You're called by God to change the world, which is why I'm pointing at you, because I want you to hear what I'm saying. Because God sent me halfway around the globe to pick you out of a crowd to tell you that you are not just an amazing individual with a great personality and a great gift to build friendships and relationships with people, but you are a leader in training, which is why you have charisma and people draw to you and you're a magnet, and it's because God gave you that gift. Please don't think that you're just amazingly funny on your own. You're that way because God created you that way, because you're going to change the world. And now that I have your attention, I want you to hear what I'm saying for the next 5 minutes. Because David was in a field when he got the call. And all he heard was his father calling his name. David! Yes, sir. Come on in the house. Somebody wants to meet you. And as he walked, he had no clue that it was the last time he would walk as a regular boy. Had no clue that as he was walking, angels were watching him from the edge of heaven. As God said, that's the one I've chosen. That one right there that everybody else looked over. You don't know that angels are surrounding this room right now because of the calling that's on your life. You don't understand the power of heaven that is in this place right now. If you could only see with your spiritual eyes the authority that you carry, if you could only understand that the moment you stand up, angels have to get up under your feet. According to Psalm 91, he gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. If you stub your toe walking out the door, an angel has to file a report in heaven. That's how valuable you are. As David walked into the house, he had no clue who Samuel was. And as he walked in, dirty from the field, God said to him, pour the oil. And all of a sudden, the little boy that nobody else saw, the one everybody else laughed at and made fun of, was anointed a king. He didn't have time to wash up. He didn't have time to change clothes. He walked in and was anointed king. I say that to you because some of you would disqualify yourselves because of things that you've done. But you don't have time to get cleaned up or change clothes because God already knew your weaknesses when he called you. And he's still anointing you right now. The anointing of God is on you to change the world, and it starts with your generation. David was anointed, and he still had the dust from the field. You know why God allowed the anointing to touch the dust? Because we were created from dust. And God wants the fragrance of the anointing to break through our brokenness. Because if you think you're better than the people you're called to reach, you will judge them before you love them. David was anointed. I got oil on me. I'm going to be a king? Yes. Now, if my brothers who didn't like me were in the room when I was anointed king, I'd be like, bow down when I come to your town. But David's heart was different. David said, I'm anointed. Yes. I'm going to be the king of a nation. Yes. Are we finished here? Yes. Can I go back outside now? Why would you want to go back outside? David, you're a king. Well, nobody's watching the sheep. Don't let God's calling stop you from serving people. Never be above the people you're called to serve. Never be so anointed and so grand that you forget that the very reason God called you is because of the heart that you had. David said, I'm glad that I'm a king, but I'm still a shepherd. And I'm going to go out here and watch these sheep. And I'm going to stay faithful right here in this field until God gives me the throne. Write these principles down, because David was anointed, but he didn't become king for many years, which means you can be anointed but not announced. You can be gifted and hidden. You can be chosen and challenged. But what made David God's choice? It's three things. He was a worshiper, he was a warrior, and he was a winner. He was a worshiper, he was a warrior, he was a winner. David would write his songs while he was out there in that field by himself. He had nobody else to talk to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me everywhere that I go. Oh. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. He would write these songs. And if you're going to be a leader, you better be a worshiper. We don't need anybody else just walking up, talking about things they don't know. If you haven't had an encounter with Jesus, he can't use you to be a leader. What happened to the keyboard? Oh no, you kicked it over. We were in such a profound moment of beauty and grace. But when you're a worshiper, you don't need a band. You can do it on your own. He was a worshiper, but he was also a warrior. The Bible says that when David saw Goliath, he was like, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna cut your head off because you disrespected my father. You disrespected the armies of the living God. You come to me with a sword. I come to you in the name. The name. Worshiper, warrior, but he was also a winner. I don't know who this is for, but I need you to know, thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information, you can go to our website, c3youth.com.au, or check us out on Instagram at c3youth.